Okay, today we'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, "When he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men." What does "he ascended" mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
I went to this youth leaders seminar this past year at Cedarville University, where we played this kind of youth game that I also did in college. It's called Savage Women. And I was thinking about demonstrating it for you this morning, but I decided that might be too hazardous. But as you can guess, it's a fairly exciting game. The idea is that the men all huddle together and hold on to each other as tightly as they can, and the women come and try to pull them apart. If there's any guy that's uncomfortable with being close to other guys, he doesn't last a minute with ladies that are really determined. You lock on as tight as you can, and if the person next to you gets pulled away, you know you're not going to last very long because your defense just got cut in half. And so if the person next to you is getting tugged on, you hold on to them for dear life. You need that person. You can't afford to lose anybody in the circle. In this passage in Ephesians, Paul is saying that the church is a body that can only be healthy if each part is doing its work. There are no Lone Ranger Christians. Christ made us to be a body, whole and unified, where each part belongs to the others and works to strengthen each other. We're just going to take a few minutes this morning just to talk about the need for growth, the goal of growth, and the work of growth, or maybe better put, the workers of growth. So first of all, the need for growth. Living things just grow. If we're a body, we grow. Nobody is meant to be Peter Pan, who just remains a child forever. And frankly, you wouldn't want to. As a child, you're still on your way to becoming what you were made to be. There are many things that you can't yet do, which you will be able to do when you're grown up. Neither is it safe just to remain a child all the time. We don't let James walk himself to preschool, even though it's just around the corner, because he's not yet mature enough or visible enough to not get hit by a car. And if some stranger tried to take him, he wouldn't have the strength to defend himself. Paul says that the church needs to grow in verse 14 so that we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, which is kind of a funny image if you think of infants bobbing in the waves, but blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Now, maybe that sounds a little bit paranoid to you, and you don't actually know any men who are cunning and crafty trying to shipwreck your faith with their deceitful scheming, at least not intentionally. But the life that Jesus calls us to is so unusual. The life he offers us is so contrary to a worldly way of thinking that it's easy to pick up ideas and messages that water it down, that swap out the life that Jesus has for us for something else. Whether that's moralism that says being Christian just means being good, you don't really need a savior to take away your sins. Or on the other hand, what you might call easy believism, that you can have Jesus as your Savior without surrendering to him as your Lord, as long as you sign on the dotted line and get your fire insurance. Whether it's atheism or religious pluralism or any of a number of false teachings that are out there, if we are only children in faith, then we don't have the discernment to know what is true and what is false. So the goal of growth, then, is maturity and unity. We don't want to be children, we want to be adults. We want to reach maturity. The body of Christ is to be built up, in verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And it's interesting that unity and maturity aren't separated out here, because Paul isn't just saying that each one of us needs to become mature. Literally, he's saying that the body of Christ needs to become a mature man, that the body grows, reaching the stature of Christ. He's not just saying that the members of the church, but the church as a whole is growing into maturity. We're not isolated individuals. We belong to each other. We need each other. We're not mature unless we are a unified body, not splintered parts, but a coherent whole. According to the verse we just read, the growth of the body means we're unified in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Okay, so the church is strengthened as our faith in Christ is strengthened. Faith that he does save us from our sins. Faith that he can give us what he promised. Faith that he can be trusted with our lives and with our ministry. The church grows as we grow in the knowledge of Christ. And not only knowing things about Christ, though you do get to know a person the more you learn things about them, but really knowing him personally. As we walk with him, as we speak to him in prayer, as we listen to him, as we experience his love and his power, we as a church will be strengthened together as one body as we live in this fellowship with Christ. And the measure of maturity, kind of the mark that says now you're mature, it says is the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, or as the King James has, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So like in our kids' bedroom, we have little pencil marks on the wall that says at this age they were this height, at this age they were this height. And then way above that, okay, not that far above that, but for them, you've got a little mark for mom and a little mark for dad. And there's this gap between where they are and where we are. But the more they grow, as the years go on, those pencil marks for them are going to get closer and closer to our pencil marks until finally they're the same height or possibly taller, and we say now they're full grown. Paul is saying that's what it looks like for the church to be full grown. If you put Jesus up against the wall and make a little pencil mark, you put the church up against the wall, they're the same height. Now that sounds impossible since Jesus is God and we couldn't possibly be what he is. He will always be beyond us. On the other hand, Jesus came to earth and he lived as a real man in order to show us what it looks like to live the way he does, what it means to take on his character as a human being. How did Jesus relate to his Father? How did he pray, serve? How did he love? How did he relate to outsiders? That's what the church is supposed to be. If Jesus lived in Moreland, Indiana today, what would he be doing? Is that what we look like? That's what we are growing up to be. That's the mark of maturity. So how? How does the body grow in fellowship with Christ and likeness with Christ? How does the church grow in unity and maturity? It's not just going to happen. Somebody's going to have to put in a lot of work to make that happen. Who is that somebody? If you answered the pastor, you're about 1% right. It's all of us. It's the deacons and the teachers and the volunteers and the friends who get together to encourage each other and to spur each other on. It's the people that are out in the community, in the schools, in your homes, in your jobs, being like Christ, doing the things Christ would do. And it all starts with Christ, right? He is the beginning of it all. Verse 16 says, he is the head that gives growth to the body. Our passage started back in like verse 7 and 8 with this victory parade sort of image of Christ returning from battle after conquest, giving gifts, the spoils of war, to men. The power that causes us to grow comes from the gospel, that Jesus died and rose from the dead in victory over death in order that he could give us this new life through the Holy Spirit, that he could give us these spoils of his victory over death. So first of all, the growth of the church starts with the spiritual gifts that Jesus gives to each one through the Holy Spirit. Verse 11 then, it says Christ gave the church these leaders, right? These apostles and teachers. Why? In order to do the ministry of the church, right? No. Verse 12 is to prepare God's people for works of service. Okay? To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Okay, the leaders equip God's people. God's people do works of ministry, and the result is that the body is built up. How do we become mature? How do we keep from being led away from faith in Christ by these false teachings and false ideas? That while the world is telling us these false things in verse 14, we're telling each other the truth in love in verse 15, so that we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Talk about synergy. As Christ causes us to grow in fellowship with him, we each do our work to help each other grow in him. As I help you grow in Christ, you are empowered to help me grow. The more we know, the more we live like Christ, the more we're able to help each other grow. And it's this thing that builds off of each other. I have a role in that. You have a role in that. And about 80 other people in this church have a role in that. This morning is essentially an idea that Bill Parrish threw out at a deacon's meeting. That at the start of the year, why don't we pray for and commission the people that have been appointed to the various positions of the church for this year of ministry? And I loved that idea, and I went a little crazy with it, and I'm just going to commission all of you because we are all ministers of Christ. If you are in Christ, you have a ministry. It may be an office in this church. It may be an informal role, just encouraging somebody else, spurring on other people in your Sunday school class or small group. Your primary ministry may be almost entirely outside of the church, but we're all together in strengthening one another to know and be like Christ in the community. So I'm going to ask various groups of people to stand up. We're kind of going to do this in batches. So when I list what you are, and don't forget your new positions this year, you can stand up, and then we're all going to pray for you. So this is how it's going to work. You'll stand up as I call you. I will pray briefly for you. And then everybody else, I just want you guys to lift them up before the throne of God. Just between you and God, I'll just leave a few moments of silence for you to pray for them as we commission them to serve this year. So the first group that I would like to stand up, the pastor, already standing, the moderator, and the deacons for this year. Would you guys stand up so we can pray for you? Would you all pray with me? Lord Jesus, you are the Lord of this church. We are your servants. You are the head who gives growth to the whole body. Thank you for the leaders of this church, men of mature faith who are called to guide and equip the rest of this body. Give those of us who lead wisdom to make good decisions, love for the people of the church, and close fellowship with you, so that the leadership that we give others would be rooted in the leading we receive from the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Can I have the trustees, groundskeepers, the clerk, the treasurer, the auditor, the financial secretary, and the finance committee? It's probably like half the church, but if you're in any of those groups, go ahead and stand up. Are there like 9 people in the finance committee? All right, let's pray. Generous God, make us sensible to how incredibly blessed we are as a church, how vast the resources you've showered on us. This building and the ministry center and the curriculum that we teach from, the tithes and offerings that you've enabled each of us to give. Thank you for responsible and faithful Christians of maturity to watch over these resources. Give them wisdom and prudence in handling the things that you've given us to be stewards of. May all the decisions that they make and the work that they do flow from a heart that's continually shaped by their faith in Christ and the leading of the Holy Spirit. You may be seated. Can I have all the Sunday school officers and teachers, the nursery workers, those involved in junior church, kids club, and youth ministry, all stand up? Let's pray. Spirit of truth, guide us into all truth, as Jesus said you would. Thank you for appointing these teachers and coordinators to lay the truth of Scripture before us and before our kids. Give those who work with the children grace to love them well and lay a solid foundation of faith in Christ that can be built on for years. Give those who work with youth and adults grace to care for those under their instruction, to long for and work for their maturity in Christ, to teach them faithfully according to your word. Amen. You may be seated. But I have everybody involved in leading the Sunday service. So the hosts, the greeters, the musicians, anybody that sings or plays, the AV technician, and anybody else involved in the Sunday morning service, would you please stand up? Pray with me. O God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you raised him by your power on the first day of the week, and we thank you for this day every week to gather and remember the celebration of the hope that we have in Christ, that he is our new life. Thank you for all those that serve in our weekly worship. As they serve, give them humility and joy and hearts set upon you, so that every person who comes in on Sunday morning will be directed to you. Amen. Can I have the CWU, anyone involved in WOW, the Benevolence Committee, and anybody that's connected with missions in the church in any way? Would you guys stand up, please? Some of you are thinking, boy, I fill a lot of roles in this church. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, you are God over this community. You're God over all of creation. There's no person on earth who doesn't receive your love. Teach us also to love those beyond the church, in the community, and around the world. Thank you for all those who extend the care and the message of this church beyond our own congregation, through funeral dinners and care packages, through Wednesday night programs in the community, through financial aid given and letters and prayers offered on behalf of our missionaries. I pray that each person and these ministries would be burdened with the salvation of the lost and with compassion for those who are hurting. Amen. All right, now, those of you that sit down are going to hate me for this. Everyone who serves in the church, everyone who extends ministry beyond the church, in short, everybody, would you guys please stand up? As you're able. Would you join me in this dedication to God? O Lord, we are your servants. Send us into the ministries that you have for us. And as we walk daily with you, may we walk close to you and empower us to encourage each other, to build each other up by speaking the truth in love. Empower us to love our neighbors well, to love our families and our co-workers, and our students and patients and customers, our employers and employees, even the ones that are really difficult. May we be your presence. May we be your kingdom on earth through the words that we say, the work that we do, the love that we show. Build up this church, we pray, to be used for your glory. Amen. You guys can remain standing, open up your hymnals.